Slender, shiny, and carrying the emotional energy of a soulless guard of a magic prison, the Dementor Wasp floats through the insect world like a tiny HR nightmare. This isn't a creature that rushes, panics, or gets its hands dirty. This is a creature that plans. With surgical precision and the patience of a chess grandmaster, it turns chaos into compliance and free will into merely a suggestion. But sometimes, it's better to work smarter, not harder, like the Dementor Wasp here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about the worst thing about wasp prison, but more on that later.
It's the toilet wine.
No.
No, it's not.
It isn't.
Yeah, this is topical for me because my wife and I were just playing the Hogwarts Battle tabletop game the other night.
Great.
Very fun game. I recommend it to anybody.
I've never heard of it.
It's just a cooperative tabletop game where you fight against the villains that come up as cards and stuff, and you kind of build a deck with each turn. But anyway,
well, the worst
we were playing.
Go ahead.
Well, we've been playing this for years, and we never get tired of it. So we were just playing it two nights ago, and the thing this wasp is named after.
Mm-hmm.
Came up in discussion.
Well, the worst thing about prison was the Dementors.
Wasp prison?
Yeah. We're the wasp Dementors. We're talking about the Dementor Wasp.
Dementor Wasp.
That's the worst thing about prison is the Dementors is Michael Scott, The Office.
Oh, I lost on me. I'm sorry. I'm not an Office fan.
I watched it like three times back when after it had come out, and I've forgotten most of that show, but I remembered that.
So what the joke is, what's the worst thing about prison? And people think a lot of different things, and then he says it's the Dementors.
Yeah, the joke is like he's pretending to, like, he's doing a scared straight program kind of thing, but he doesn't know anything about prison.
So he just goes to Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll get over my secondhand embarrassment.
No,
to be able to watch that show.
No, it's good. Apparently, it's good if you get secondhand embarrassment, you're a more empathetic person.
Oh, I thought you said it's the show is good. Like, oh, you'll just enjoy it more if you...
No.
Like, no, that's not... It's not a good
feeling.
No,
I feel that as well. I do not like it. There's certain episodes I would never watch again. But yeah, we're talking about the Dementor Wasp.
It's also known as the Emerald Cockroach Wasp or the Jewel Wasp. But we're going to call it here Free Will Hunting. Which is a name I have, you know, just unabashedly stolen from Futurama.
Oh.
But we're going to call it also here Respecto Patronum and Mikola the Kind.
Nice.
Which is an Elden Ring reference to a deity that takes away your free will. And so this will all come full circle when we get to the major fact.
It will. Would you first like to know what science calls it?
Yeah.
Well, it's in the Kingdom Animalia. You know it, you love it, you're in it. It's in the phylum Arthropoda. It's in the class Insecta. It's in the order Hymenoptera. It's in the family Ampulicidae, yeah. Soft C. Genus Ampulex. And the species is Dementor, Ampulex Dementor.
It is literally named after the Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
So I can't really do nitty gritty nomenclature on this one. It's just a Dementor. It's just something that Joanne made up.
Fabric.
It's fabricated. Joanne fabricated it. So instead of nitty gritty nomenclature, we're gonna go back to our roots. It's time for my favorite part of the show. Critter groups. I think it's been a while. We only really bring it up when we do birds. But there is a collective noun for wasps that we have not gone over yet. So this is the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the name of a group of this animal, or what is the term of venery, or what is the collective noun? You saw a group of wasps? Would you call it A, wrap of wasps? B, a glare of wasps? I'm hearing all my S's. Wasps. C, a bloom of wasps? Or D, a pledge of wasps? Wrap, glare, bloom, pledge.
Wrap, final answer?
That is incorrect. The answer is pledge. It's pledge.
Why?
I don't know. But wrap and glare are Pokemon moves.
But I was just trying to find something that was like pleasant or neutral to good.
Yeah, I don't know why pledge. A pledge of wasps. I'm used to saying wasps, but now I'm because there's a book about a bunch of wasps that come to a town and they make a giant jam sandwich to trap all of the wasps. It's a children's book, and we've read it 150 times. But so I got used to just that at the end of saying the wasps. But anyway, yes, it's a pledge of wasps.
Well, good.
I hope you're happy.
I hope you're happy, Comet. Do you want to know what it looks like?
Yes.
Well, it's red and black and yellowish slightly on the wings. It is that waspish, antish body shape. Head, thorax, abdomen. With the, you know, if you're picturing any wasp or ant, proportionally you've got it pretty down. A small head ratio compared to like what an ant can be sometimes, big headed. Fairly typical long thorax and a shorter-ish abdomen. Black head, yellow antenna, yellow thorax, black abdomen, yellow to red. Interesting color.
Like a coral snake.
Yeah. No. It's like it's a reddish yellow. It's not like yellow and black and red. It's the yellow is either yellow or red. The body shape, yeah, long, slender legs, distinct narrow waist.
Hourglass figure,
yeah. But when you're thinking about a wasp, you want to know, how big is it? Should I be scared of this thing? Well, welcome to the Blood Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show. The part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms to a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio yourself saying, singing, or chittering. The words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week. But first, before I do that, I gotta go to the email, because Nora, who sent in many things, including Measure Up Intros, has a bone to pick. Because one of us, probably me, because this is something I've said before, said the French R sounds like swallowing your tongue. She wrote she wrote in her email, anglophones, colon. And then she wrote the French R sounds like swallowing your tongue in the like mocking, like varying the like capitalization of a sentence incorrectly. So it's like the French R sounds like swallowing. It's, you're just meant to read it like that.
Oh, the Gen Z thing that people do where they like,
They
write like that with the random capitalization. Exactly right. Mock someone's. Yeah. Okay. I got it. And I'm on board.
And so she put in diagrams. She has diagrams in this email, and she's basically making the case. She's showing the French R where the mouth and the tongue is. The French R, the back of the tongue is close to the top of the mouth. And in the English R, she writes, the only language where the mouth is literally curling the freaking tongue back and in an attempt to gargle the R sound. She said,
I mean, what is it? The French R is like a, is like guttural. It's like a,
yeah, so,
like rouge.
Yeah, right? Say it like sounds like swallowing France. Your tongue because the bunching up of your tongue in the back of your throat feels like swallowing or choking on something more than I feel the R sound in English does. But she's right in that you do curl your tongue back. So hearing that as a French speaker, you might think, well, no, you're swallowing your tongue with the R in English.
English R.
But it is funny how in the Americas, the three biggest languages, French, English, and Spanish, all do R's differently. We just cannot agree on how to do an R. And I teach
the most common way to do an R is just like the
tap,
the flap. Yeah,
like in Spanish.
Like in Spanish, yeah. That's the way it's done in Slavic languages. That's the way it's done in Romance languages. It's the way it's done in a lot of African tribal languages, including like Xhosa does that in Zulu. So it's like Japanese also does as the that. So it's the French R and like probably the
like
Germans don't even pronounce the R.
Certain sounds in Hebrew as well.
They just say kinda. Right? Yeah. They don't even, there's no R there. It's like the UK R. It's like the British. Just, if it's at the end of the sentence, it just doesn't exist.
Right.
But yeah, it's like if the French R sounds like, it feels like clearing your throat. It's good if you need, like.
It's also in Northern.
Baton Rouge.
Northern English? Northern UK English?
Like Manchester?
Like how they say the Founding Fathers might have sounded as well. I'm trying to think of a example because I can't do the accent. But they do the R
like
at the end.
Liverpool kind of thing?
Not Liverpool. Henry of Scallets does that.
Yeah. He
pronounces the R at the end. From the game,
yeah,
the King
sounds,
Come Deliverance.
It almost sounds, yeah, it almost sounds Irish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Scottish pronounce R's, right?
No, they do the flap.
Oh, that's right. But at the end?
I can't really be doing that, like that kind of thing.
Think about, what about at the end? No, you're right. It probably is the flap.
But also, there's a very, like, the received pronunciation. We're going way off topic here. Received pronunciation, like a very posh British person, like a Christopher Lee, puts, especially when an R is in the middle of vowels, will do the flap as well. It's very hard.
For, oh, I see
like,
what
or
you're
something
saying.
Like that. Like,
Anyway, well,
just edit all that out.
Well, well rebutted, Nora. Thank you for the email.
Sorry, I have a bachelor's degree in linguistics that has sat so unbelievably dormant that it's fun when it wakes up a little bit. It's like, oh, it's a glottal stop. I remembered that.
Well, since we don't have a new measure of intro, we've spurned Nora by making fun of her language, but so she didn't send us one. But she sent us plenty. She doesn't have to send us any more.
I like French. I don't think I've made fun of French.
Oh no, we did. I did. I think when I said it sounds like swallowing your R, in the French R.
This is swallowing your tongue. Swallowing your tongue. Yeah. I mean, if I ever end up actually mastering Spanish, I'm moving on to French. Like that's the next one.
Yeah, those are.
I like it.
If you're an American, those are the ones you should know the most, probably.
There's also just a lot of countries that speak French. Mm-hmm. It's either that or Arabic, and one of them is going to be easier than the other.
Yes. Well, since we don't have a new measure up intro this week, that means you get to hear from an animal. Carlos has to guess what it is. Without further ado, the listener's part of the show. You know what that is? There's no way you could ever guess.
Is it a Dementor?
It is not a Dementor.
Some sort of robot wasp. Is it one of the, like, is it like a Transformer, the beast mode ones, and one of them transforms into a wasp?
Robot, you are thinking on the right track, but it's more like alien. It's an alien species from a...
Is it the thing from Wreck-It Ralph?
Nope, it's an alien species from a very old British sci-fi television show.
From the British sci-fi television show. Is it The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
No.
It's an old sci-fi.
Older, Britisher.
Doctor Who.
Correct. It's the Zarbi.
I'm not sure if there's an argument to be made that Doctor Who is Britisher than,
I think there
than
very
Hitchhiker's
much is.
Guide to the Galaxy.
I think there is. Zarbi, that's the name of this like giant wasp race, which is just men with regular men legs wearing giant wasp-shaped cardboard cutouts on them. Or
a show that show is truly ahead of its time.
I can't imagine watching this. You'd have to be a child. I guess a child would watch it.
Or you haven't seen the Avengers yet.
Those
the
sounds,
Avengers hasn't come out yet. This is it's the 50s or 40s or whatever this came out, and it's the coolest thing you've ever seen.
Wow, how do they even make you? I guess you wouldn't even know how they made those sounds, even though they are annoying. But anyway, let's talk about this wasp a little bit. Length: females are about 9.6 to 10.9 millimeters long. Males have not been fully described yet.
They got to get on that.
New species. Well, newish, newer than crocodiles. For sure.
Well, clearly discovered by someone who is a Harry Potter fan.
Right.
So it's not like it was discovered by some like Dutch tradesman yeah. in the age of sail.
It's definitely not on the walls, carved into the walls of an Egyptian hieroglyphic thing.
Yeah, it's not even pinned to the walls of some sort of, yeah, like European naturalist mm-hmm. that was just collecting specimens.
You got to get your species on the wall. The worker weaver. Oh, we're doing our new true or false until somebody tells us not to. The true or false measure up, a streamlined measure up. with 50-50 guess.
Which I absolutely crushed last time, yes, you so did. Let's do it.
The worker weaver ant is a common ant species in Thailand, famous for building leaf nests. True or false, one worker weaver ant is the same length as a Dementor wasp.
How long is the wasp?
10.9 millimeters.
I'll reiterate the question. In freedom units, please.
10.9 divided by... I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
That's its length. Its length is 10 millimeters?
0.3 inches.
That's its... From stem to stern?
Some... Yeah.
Okay. I'll say yes.
Tipped,
true.
Tip to vent. Final answer?
Yes.
Correct answer is true. Yeah, worker weaver ant is, I think, about 11. So, yeah, it's pretty much the same. We don't know how heavy they are. They don't record things like that usually. And if they do, they don't tell us normies. Put it in some, like, deep buried in some study somewhere. But I asked ChatGPT to estimate it based on its length and similar wasp species. And it came up with 0.025 to 0.03 grams. Which is what?
Grams.
3 milligrams.
Not ounces, grams.
Yeah.
0.02 grams.
Yes.
Okay.
What is that in ounces? That.
You just add a couple more zeros to it.
0.001. Yeah.
So in.
But it's 30 it's milligrams. I think a lethal dose of fentanyl is 3 milligrams.
It's a snowflake.
Yeah. So like 10 times. Snowflake's worth. This is 10 times the weight of a lethal dose of fentanyl. So there you go.
Okay. What's the question?
Rambutan is a fruit. It's a tropical fruit native to Southeast Asia. It's kind of like a lychee fruit.
I thought it was a
fruit.
Mystic in Russia.
It does, yeah, rambutan. I might be saying it completely wrong, but it looks pretty phonetic. It's kind of like a lychee fruit, but the shell is furry like the Lorax. True or false, 1,000 wasps go into the weight of a rambutan fruit.
True.
Again, true.
Because it's already 0.001 means 1,000 of them is 1 ounce. And this is a fruit. So it's probably actually more. False. False is my final answer. I think it's more than 1,000.
Well, the correct answer is true.
Ah.
This is small. Do you know what a lychee fruit is? It's like almost the size of a grape.
It's like a nut.
Yeah. But look up this rambutan. It looks crazy. It's about 30 grams.
Rambutan. Oh, this is something that you would find on Avatar World.
Or something that you get as a prize after Monster Golf. Or at Boomers.
Yeah, I have this exact... I have several versions of this exact thing downstairs right now as squishy toys.
Yeah.
A lot of the tendrils are missing because they've been snapped off. But, you know, they still make for something to chuck at your siblings.
We've talked about fruit like this before. I do like this kind of fruit, like a lychee. It's like almost like a pear in flavor, but not in the consistency. Grape in size. Rambutan juice.
These look bigger than a grape. These look like the size of large strawberries.
Yeah, potentially a strawberry size.
Anyway, this is interesting. They look... I don't like them.
They look like they would be the It would be like the good example of a type of phobia. Like, I have this type of phobia. I'm afraid of stuff like this, and it's that.
I'm afraid of round things that are absolutely covered in tentacles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I'm afraid of Lovecraftian cosmic unknowable fruit.
You can know it. You can know it. You just open it up and eat it. You know it pretty good.
Well, you don't open up the cosmos. It's just a bad idea.
No, no. But you can open up a Rambutan.
You will go mad.
It does even has a name that's kind of existential. Do not gaze upon the Rambutan. It will gaze back. Let's talk. Do you want to hear some fast facts?
Wait, the what's the D&D like Gorgon thing?
No,
the Watcher,
the Beholder
in front of the D&D. The Beholder, yeah, it's got Beholder vibes. Especially when you like cut it open, and it's like there's just this big white fruit flesh.
Yeah,
it looks like an eyeball.
Oh yeah,
and the rest of its tentacles.
It does look like an eyeball. It looks like an eyeball with no pupil.
Yeah. Again, seeing into the cosmic unknown.
Yeah. Grant us eyes. do you want to hear some fast facts?
Yeah.
They're known primarily in tropical forests in Thailand. It likes to live in environments where its prey is abundant. Tropical forests, moist areas, rainfall, cover. Lots of cool stuff like that. Leaf litter. It may be eaten by birds, reptiles, spiders, amphibians that share a habitat, but it has warning coloration, red and black, that may signal toxicity or a sting. So there's a little bit of that going with it. It does cause a painful sting to invertebrates. I mean, to vertebrates. So some predators might stay away because it could sting you. But I think some like birds tend to eat wasps anyway. They're quick and agile in flight. And they live mostly a solitary lifestyle, reducing detection. So it's not going to be a feeding frenzy. Its sting is not dangerous to people, though it might be painful, like a bee sting. Its venom is highly specialized for insects, especially for its prey, which we'll talk about later. And does not affect the human nervous system in the way that it does its prey. So it's a specialized venom for special boys and girls in the bug world, not for you. It was part of a biodiversity discovery effort in the greater Mekong region in Thailand, an area recognized for high numbers of newly described species, lots of biodiversity there. It was discovered in 2014. This project to discover stuff started in the late 90s and still going today. And they keep finding stuff in this greater Mekong region. Lots of cool stuff.
Of course, it was discovered in the late 90s. That the height of Harry Potter hype.
It wasn't discovered it was discovered in 2014. But this discovery project started in the 90s.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That
would have been funny though. Like right as soon as the third book came out and all the Dementors were they're like, oh, the next person to discover an animal gave it the Dementor.
When were the last movies coming out? When was it before this or so?
The last movies came out in 2012.
Okay, so a couple of years later. But yeah, that's. I'll leave it at that. The main thing we know about this thing is the thing I think you're going to talk about.
Yes. So this one's called Put Me in Roach.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be another example.
This is going to be another. Why did you sound? You sounded very Italian.
This is going to be another. Going to be another example of how unbelievably brutal the bug world is.
Bugdom.
similar to the what's the Apomus beetle, which is one of our earlier episodes. It's just it's tough to be a bug, like the ride in Animal Kingdom, not the ride, the show, but it's they leave this out of that show for good reason. So the Dementor wasp eats cockroaches, and cockroaches are and remember that, like, this wasp is a third of an inch. It's pretty small. And if you've seen cockroaches, I mean, the ones around here, they can be several inches long, many times, like the 10 times the size of this wasp. So how do you take down something that's 10 times the size of you? Well, you pacify it. And that's what this wasp does. So the Dementor wasp delivers a precisely targeted sting directly into a specific nerve in the cockroach's brain.
Oof.
Now, nobody likes cockroaches. I mean, I guess some researchers probably do, but the average person thinks they're gross, even though most don't like really bite or pose like an immediate threat to humans. There's something about a cockroach that's worse than other bugs. Like, if I saw a Hercules beetle crawling on the floor, I'd be like, wow, that's awesome. If I saw a roach crawling on the floor that was the same size, I'd be like, a life needs to end. And so there's just something about cockroaches. It's the same thing like the moth and butterfly dynamic. Like, moths need to die. Butterflies are precious. Preserve them. They are beautiful. But I wonder, for those of you out there that hate cockroaches, if you would wish this fate on them. So after the wasp has delivered a sting to the cockroach's central nervous system, it doesn't kill it. The venom selectively shuts down its escape reflex. Anything that would be analogous to panic in a bug is removed. Survival instincts are revoked. It is alive. It is mobile. It is unharmed, and it's just, what do they call it? Ennui?
Yeah.
It's just completely unmotivated. It is a teenager in a hoodie. It is not going anywhere, and it's pacified. This chemical manipulation, it prevents the cockroach from running away, which cockroaches are very fast and strong, especially compared to a wasp that's a third of an inch. And this solves that problem. It doesn't have to haul a fast, resistant, frantic, like, train of prey. Instead, it has a pet. The wasp then chews off part of the cockroach's antenna, and drinks the hemolymph that's in there. This is what sustains the adult wasp. It's like a victory smoothie. I drink your milkshake, I drink it up. It'll use the other antenna as a leash. So it'll grab the antenna and pull it toward its burrow, the wasp's burrow. Like it's walking a dog. And once the cockroach is inside the burrow, the wasp will lay an egg on it and seal the entrance. And I think you know where this story is going. When the larva hatches, it will feed externally on the outside of the cockroach's body first, avoiding vital organs to keep the host alive and fresh. And then later the larva will move inside and then consume the cockroach from the inside out, organ by organ. This strategy ensures a perfectly preserved, non-struggling food source for its larva. And it makes it of just about the most unsettling, like, it's the CIA. It's doing what was the acid program for the CIA?
Oh, MK Ultra.
Like, MK Ultra, yes. Almost said MS-13. No, that's not this. Maybe it's the CIA. Who knows? But it's the MK Ultra, the brainwashing to turn you into a helpless hors d'oeuvre. Or full entree, actually. And you're sentenced to a very slow death of being eaten and liking it. Maybe liking it. But just having no ability to run away or fight back. It's that part of your brain is just completely shut off. You are resigned to whatever happens. It is a nihilistic cockroach.
Interesting. Head empty, no thoughts anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I can see the reason why you might call it a Dementor wasp. It sucks the soul out of a cockroach.
Yeah. It's kind of a nice way to do it, though, isn't it? If you're going to kill something. No fear, Shakespeare.
Instead of, I guess it could restrain it or paralyze it.
Right.
Instead, it just, it's like Mickle of the Kind. It whispers sweet nothings into your central nervous system and tells you of a kinder, gentler world to come.
Yeah.
As you're being eaten alive from the inside, from the outside in and then the inside out.
Yeah, disgusting. The bugs are disgusting. So, I'll tell you that.
They're disgusting, but it's like it's also just brutal. It's like the whole concept of keeping your host alive, organ by organ, as long as possible. So, but we don't know if like bugs feel things like pain the same way that we do. But
I don't think not the same way for sure. Different way, potentially.
But yeah, that's the Dementor wasp. Isn't that cheery?
It is cheery.
Did you think this was gonna be cheery after we said it was called the Dementor wasp? No, which one of those words was gonna be a fun time?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got. Do you got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, that was Dementor Wasp. For you out there in Podcastia, enjoy a nice roach. Share your gift with the world. And hack the brains of your enemies so that you can drink their milkshake, drink it up. Like the Dementor Wasp here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
That is the only part of the movie I remember.
That's the important part of the movie.
It's the only important part of the movie.